Luke chapter 4, verse 31. The Bible says our Lord came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Let's stop right here for a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, help me do my best tonight to expound the Word of God. As we discussed earlier, we really appreciate the ability to expound the Bible and preach through the Bible. And I pray tonight you'll meet with us as we study this portion from the Gospel of Luke. May the Spirit of God help me and fill me, and may the Spirit of God speak to hearts even tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here in our text tonight, in Luke 4, verse 31, we read that our Lord left Nazareth and came down to Capernaum. Now, if you know your Bible, you know Capernaum became our Lord's hometown, sort of his adopted hometown. He left Nazareth, but he settled in to Capernaum. For example, Matthew 9, verse 1, refers to Capernaum as his own city. So Matthew calls Capernaum our Lord's own city. Now, Capernaum has vanished. If you were to take a trip to the Holy Land and you'd ask your tour guide, "Show me Capernaum," he'd say, "We have no idea where it even was." Capernaum's gone. Totally vanished. Today, no one knows exactly where Capernaum was located. Now, if you know your Bible, you know why. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 23, "And thou Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." So what do you mean by that? He says, you had such great privileges. If the mighty works that were done here in Capernaum had been done in Sodom, they would have repented. Sodom and Gomorrah would have repented. And so he said, because of this exalted position you have, you're going to be brought down to hell. And now there's no more Capernaum. And people today aren't even sure exactly where it was. But it was back in our Lord's day, it was his adopted hometown. Now here in the synagogue in Capernaum, our Lord cast out the spirit of an unclean devil. Verse 33. It's called the spirit of an unclean devil. In verse 36, they're also called unclean spirits. Now, devils, or demons, are often referred to as unclean spirits because moral uncleanness. When I'm talking about moral uncleanness, I'm talking about adultery, fornication, pornography, homosexuality, all of this filthiness, it can be traced back to demons. Demons are behind this. For example, demons are behind the pornography industry. It's so obvious. And they're behind this gay rights movement and so on. The demons are behind this. So they're called unclean spirits. All this filth on TV. Ever wonder why so much filth on TV? That wasn't allowed when I was a child. When I was a child, that might have been a little unrealistic. But like Leaving the Beaver and these shows, the husband and wife had separate beds. Now, I know, that, again, that's not realistic. But at least they were trying to just be so clean. Now, forget about it. They're in the same bed, not even married or not, two queers, anything goes, and there's all sorts of filth on television. Demons are behind that. Demons are behind. They're called unclean spirits. Now, demons desire to possess human beings. Look at Luke 4:35. Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." See, the demon was inside of him. Demons literally get inside people. And I believe there are many Americans today with demons inside of them. That's why our country's in such bad shape. The country can't survive much longer when you have so many demon-possessed people walking around, and some of them are in very important positions in our country. In the entertainment business, in the political world, in the educational system, people that are demon-possessed are ruling our country today. So demons like to possess people. Look at Luke 8:2. Luke chapter 8, verse 2. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. So Mary Magdalene had seven devils inside of her. And there are many other examples in the Bible. Sometimes demons not only come into people, but into animals. Demons can inhabit animals. For example, Mark 5, verse 13, says, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. So demons aren't picky. If they can't get into a person, they'll go into a pig. They don't care. But they want to be inside a warm body. So the Bible says the unclean spirits went out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. So the demons went into the pigs, and the pigs committed suicide. Or as one farmer said, suicide. And unclean. If you don't know about that, I'll explain a little about that. So. But someone said it's mass homicide. But whatever it was, 2,000 pigs choked in the sea. They drowned. Now, our English word demon comes from the Greek word demon, really a demon, which is translated devil in Luke 4:43. So Luke chapter 4, verse 43, going back to Luke 4:43, and let me see if I got this right here. I mean 33, rather, I'm sorry. Luke 4:33 and Luke chapter 4, verse 35. I got my notes a little mixed up here. Luke 4:33 and Luke 4:35. That word devil is a translation from the Greek word demon. So the word demon, that's where it comes from, our English word demon. The word demon is not actually found in our King James Bible. Normally the King James translators translated it devil. Devil. Now, they often called unclean spirits, as I said. Now, Charles Ryrie said demons are superhuman with superior intelligence and experience and powers. To deny the existence of demons is not skepticism. He says it's not skepticism, it only displays ignorance. To be unrealistic about their power is foolhardy. And there are many people today in the secular world who do deny demons. And they say that's just like fairy tales, like, you know, ghosts and stuff. There's no such thing. The Bible teaches there's such a thing as demons. You can't take the Bible literally and deny the existence of demons. And by the way, people sometimes use the word demons inaccurately. For example, say somebody gets a little unstable and commits suicide or something. They'll say, well, are you struggling with personal demons? Well, he may have been, but they don't usually mean it that way. They use that as some sort of euphemism, meaning he was having, you know, mental problems and so on. Now, our Lord said in Matthew 25, verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So his angels refers to fallen angels, or as we would say, demons or devils, all right? So the Lord said hell was not prepared for people, it was prepared for the devil and his angels, meaning demons. Demons are also referred to as Satan's angels in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 and 9. Now in Matthew 12, verse 24, Satan is referred to as Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. So we see many references to Satan having this large demonic host under him. He's their leader and he directs these demons. He's called the prince of the devils. And the book of Revelation indicates that demon possession will increase during the tribulation period. So if we think it's bad now, and it is getting worse. For example, when I was a kid, I didn't see all these botanicas all over the place. I didn't see so much occultism that I see now. It's definitely on the increase. Demonism is certainly increasing here in America. Now, it used to be missionaries would go to foreign countries like China and Africa and places, and they'd come back, India, all these different places, and they'd give a testimony in a church meeting like this, and they'd say, we saw a lot of demon possession. And Americans would be like, oh, it was shocked. Now we're seeing it right here in our own country. You see? Used to be the only time we'd hear about it was missionaries coming back and explaining what they saw in these places where there was so much paganism and witchcraft and on and on. But now we're seeing demonism right here in America. And the book of Revelation says it's going to increase during the tribulation period. The world, I believe, is being prepared for this demonic invasion today, especially here in the U.S., by an onslaught of filth. Remember, they're unclean spirits. Television shows and movies promoting fornication and homosexuality, even sadomasochism. You might have heard of this new book and new movie, 50 Shades of Grey. They say it's filthy. I mean, filthy. And it's being promoted to children. Being promoted. I'm waiting to see some stupid cartoon now with it on. I mean, it's being promoted to little kids. God help. You know, I saw a picture in a paper. It was a bunch of women on a subway, and they're all reading that book. I wish I was on that subway car. I said, you know what poison you're putting into your mind? Here's a gospel tract. Why don't you read something good that'll help you? Not something that's going to destroy you. But this is, the world is being prepared for this demonic invasion. Think about all these TV shows now about vampires and zombies and witches and devils and so on. It's preparing people for an increase in demonic possession. Now let me get to my message tonight. That was just my introduction. First and foremost, devils are religious. We need to understand that. We think of devils, well, you know, drug dealers and, you know, drunkards, they're doing the devil's work. Listen, the devil's specialty is religion. And there's a tendency to overlook this, but Satan and his demons specialize in religion. Notice in verse 33, Luke 4, 33, this demon-possessed man was in the synagogue. See that? Here's a man that was possessed with a devil. He was not in a brothel. He was not in a nightclub. He was not in a bar. He was in the synagogue. And you better believe some of them are in our churches as well. Now, Revelation 2:9 refers to the synagogue of Satan. Demons are behind all false religion. We need to understand that. Some people would say, how did Joseph Smith, how did a man like that start a cult like Mormonism, now has so many members all over the world, it's so huge, how did he do that? I'll tell you right now, Satan was behind that. Demons are behind that. How did Muhammad start a religion like Islam? They have over 1 billion people in the world today, and it's still growing rapidly, even here in the U.S. How did that happen? Demons. Satan. You see? Demons are behind all false religion. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, warns of doctrines of devils. Think about that. God has his doctrines, and the devil has his doctrines. 1 Timothy 4:1 refers to demons as seducing spirits. They seduce people into error. You see? Revelation chapter 18, verse 2, describes religious Babylon as the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And by the way, that's a very vivid picture of the Vatican right there. Revelation 18:2. And now the news media, and especially the White House, the president and his advisors and his associates and so on, they are trying to downplay this, but most of these murderous terrorists, these fanatical terrorists that are cutting heads off, are devout Muslims. I mean, anybody who knows what's going on knows this. Just read about it. It's as plain as can be for the White House and I. You know, they're not Muslims. He even said ISIS wasn't Muslim. ISIS stands for the Islamic State in Syria. They say they're Muslim. They practice Islam, but deny they're Muslims is ridiculous. It's a demonic religion, Islam. And they want to take over the world. And they're doing their best to promote that through terrorizing people and so on. Now, Satan and his demons deceive people. Revelation 12:9 says Satan deceived the whole world. Think about that. Satan is able to deceive the whole world, according to Revelation 12:9. And again, Satan's specialty is religious deception. Religious deception. In Matthew 24, you don't got to turn there, but in Matthew 24, verse 3, as our Lord sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Our Lord answered them by warning what? Of religious deception. I guess we'll turn there quickly. Keep your place in Luke. We'll come right back. But look at Matthew and chapter 24. Matthew 24. Verse 3, they say, what is going to be the sign of thy coming and end of the world? The very first thing Jesus said in verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, just in case you're not sure about what he meant by that, verse 5, many shall come in my name and saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Religious deception. Verse 11, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Verse 23, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Satan and his demons and their false prophets have been deceiving people for thousands of years. They have a lot of experience deceiving people. And the devil is an expert at deceiving sinners. Revelation 12:9 says he deceiveth the whole world. 1 Timothy 4:1 refers to demons as seducing spirits. You need to understand, demons are religious. Secondly, demons or devils are destructive. They destroy people's lives. Now, you read the newspaper. I just read about a little girl, 3 years old, beaten to death by a babysitter. And you read about mothers throwing their babies out the window. And you read about, listen, demons are behind a lot of that. A lot of these people are being deceived and destroyed by demons. Demon possession. It appears that this particular man has only one devil inside of him. Look at Luke 4:35. But one demon can do a lot of damage. Look at Luke 4:35. Jesus rebuked him, rebuked the demon. He said, hold thy peace and come out of him. Now notice, our Lord did not rebuke the man. He was rebuking the devil inside the man. Read it carefully. Hold thy peace and come out of him. He's talking to the demon. And when the devil, singular, only one devil, had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. Now, it's interesting, in verse 34, he said in verse 34, look at verse 34. He said, let us alone. Now, why do we use the word, the plural pronoun, us, if there's only one devil inside of him? I believe he said us, referring to the devil and the man himself. Leave us alone, the demon and the man that was, the man who was possessed by the demon. Now, in this instance, there's only one devil inside the man, but oftentimes many devils can enter into a man. Ushers, can you close that door? Oftentimes, many devils can move into a man. Let me show you something. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 43. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. In other words, demons are not going to be happy until they find someone else they can inhabit. That's just the way it is. If they get out of one person, they're going to look for someone else they can occupy. And if they can't find someone else, they're going to animals, like we saw with those pigs. Verse 44, then he saith, I will return into my house. Now notice, he was so comfortable living inside this person he referred to as my house. Huh? You think about that now. That demon was so happy and content living inside that man, he referred to it as my house. I'm going back to my house, he said. From whence I came out. And when he's come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. That tells you a lot right there. Listen, someone can get rid of a demon, but unless he replaces that demon with the Holy Spirit, he's in trouble. Because this man cleaned up his act, so to speak, but he didn't get saved. And then verse 45, then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. So not only does the demon come back, he brings seven of his demon friends with him. So sometimes, many demons can enter into a person. Here he brought seven other spirits more wicked than himself. Everything okay? And they enter in and dwell there. Notice that the demon came back. He brought seven other demons with him. and they all enter into and dwell there. Now watch this now, verse 45. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Why? Well, before he only had one demon in him. Now he's got eight. The original demon brought seven more spirits, even more evil than himself. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. So, in our story tonight of Luke 8, one demon came in. But if you study your Bible, you'll see sometimes several or many demons can enter in to a man. If you remember the story of the demoniac of Gadara, it's recorded in Luke chapter 8. Our Lord said, "What is thy name?" And the demon said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. Now, there were 6,000 soldiers in a Roman legion. Now, I don't think that necessarily proves that 6,000 demons came into that one man, but I think it does indicate many demons came in, because the Bible says legion because many devils were entered into him. Let's look at that. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And go to verse number 30. Luke chapter 8. And verse number 30. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And Mark has the same story. If you go to Mark and go to chapter 5, and I want to spend a few minutes there because this is very instructive. If you go to Mark chapter 5, and we can learn much about demon possession from this story. First of all, we notice in verse 1, Mark 5, 1, and they came over unto the country, unto the other side of the sea, that's the Sea of Galilee, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, when Jesus came out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tombs. Notice they like to hang around tombs. Notice today there's a great obsession with tombs and death. Halloween. And you notice people put little tombs on their front yard and stupid things and decorations. There's an obsession. When I was a youngster, a very popular rock group, the Grateful Dead. And there's a big obsession with death. Even these movies and TV shows talk about, you know, zombies and spooks and devils. People have this obsession with death. And notice they met him out of the tombs. Some people like to hang around graveyards and at parties and stuff. I don't know why anybody would be comfortable hanging around a graveyard having a party. But that's it's a demonic aspect of that. He came out with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. So this man, this maniac actually lived in the cemetery. And no man could bind him. In other words, they have superhuman strength. No, not with chains. No, even with chains, they couldn't hold him. And then if you notice in verse 2, he has an unclean spirit. And verse 8, Jesus said, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." So notice they're unclean. Notice they hang around cemeteries. They have obsession with death and tombs. Notice they have superhuman strength. Verses 3 and 4. Verse 4 says, "He had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him." He was so wild and strong that they couldn't even hold him with chains, and no man could control him or tame him. They have superhuman strength. The demons make people wild and uncontrollable. Verse 5, look at verse 5. Night and day he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And there's a thing now, a lot of young people are cutting themselves. That's demonic. They don't know why they do it. They can't control themselves. They just cut themselves. You see some pretty girls, young girls, with scars all over themselves. They've cut themselves. And the parents are beside themselves. They don't know what to do. They bring up the psychiatrist. They bring the school guidance counselors. Nobody can figure it out. I'll tell you why. It's demons. It's demons. And he's cutting himself. So demons do that to people. They make people want to hurt themselves, even kill themselves. You know, what was it? Which school was that? NYU. There were so many people that were committing suicide. They had to put up a big high wall. There's like a big atrium, and they were just kept jumping over this little low wall. They were jumping over and killing themselves. They had to pick a big higher wall. Now, you can put a wall up, but these young people are determined to kill themselves, they'll find some other way. Jump in front of the subway car. Jump off the Brooklyn Bridge. Listen, devils are behind a lot of that. Demons are behind a lot of that. Now, another thing I want to point out tonight, demons recognize Jesus, and sometimes they even worship him. Look at Luke 5:6. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran what? Worshipped him. That's interesting. Demons acknowledge Jesus, and sometimes they even worship him. And again, there are many demons. Verse 9, he said his name is Legion, because we are many. They love filth also. Demons love filth. Look at verse 11. Now, there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And you know, swine, they're dirty animals. They roll around in the mud and everything. And then verse 12, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. So those pigs didn't want to live any longer with demons in them. So they just ran out into the sea and they killed themselves. The other thing I want to point out about demons also, after a person is delivered from demons, after the demons are cast out, the person who was possessed with demons puts his clothes back on and is in his right mind. You think about that now. So there's a connection between demonism and immorality. That's why they're called unclean spirits. And that would include nudity. But when the demons come out, they start dressing modestly. Huh? I think if we can get America to turn back to God and get a lot of these demons out, we see people start dressing more modestly, huh? I mean, I'm almost embarrassed sometimes to read newspaper or magazine, the way some of these women dress, huh? There's more and more, they're lowering the standards and lowering the neckline and raising the skirts and the slit. It's just really indecent the way a lot of people dress nowadays. And as Christians, we've got to be careful about that and dress modestly at all times. Now look at Mark 5:15. Mark 5:15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. Because he had the legion. The legion's all gone now. Sitting, watch this, and clothed and in his right mind. So he put his clothes on and he was in his right mind. Why? Because the demons were gone. Now he's coming back to his right mind and he's putting his clothes on. Now, Satan is often referred to as our adversary. He's called our adversary, the devil, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. In fact, the name Satan is a Hebrew word, and the word Satan is a Hebrew word for adversary. That's where the word adversary comes from. And Satan has multitudes of demons under his control, and they are assisting him. And just like Satan, these evil spirits are full of hatred toward God, and they're bent on doing as much harm and as much damage as they possibly can. So the devil hates God, and he's out to destroy God's people, and demons are assisting him. The great preacher Spurgeon said, it is no wonder that there is so much evil in the world when there are so many evil spirits constantly seeking to lead men astray. And how true that is. It is impossible to rightly understand what is going on in the world today without understanding the spirit realm. It's impossible. Unsaved people say, what's happening in this world? Why is everything all mixed up? I'll tell you right now, look at your Bible. It's demons. Demons and Satan are behind a lot of it. Just yesterday, we were on visitation, me and Brother Gary. And the gentleman we visited was a policeman. And he was explaining a lot of these crazy things going on from his perspective. And I said, I'll tell you right now, the devil's behind that. The devil's behind that. And those of us who know our Bibles, we can see the devil's handiwork. Now, demons are behind crime. Demons are behind terrorism. Demons are behind these demonstrations like Occupy Wall Street and all these other radicals that are out burning and looting and killing and stealing. Demons are behind that, getting everybody stirred up. Demons are behind terrorism. Demons are behind war. Demons are behind pornography. Demons are behind rock music and hip-hop and rap music. Demons are behind that. In fact, you just do a little research. You see a lot of these hip-hop people rap, they have these weird signals. A lot of those are satanic symbols they use. And demons are behind drugs and alcohol. And by the way, notice a lot more places now are legalizing drugs. That's a big mistake. It's a big mistake. There's enough people that are high enough as it is, and people that are drunk all the time. Now you're going to legalize drugs, have more people depend upon drugs to get through the day. You can't get through the day without being behind drugs. By the way, let me say something. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. Demons are behind drugs. Make no mistake about it. Demons are behind it. Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars to have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Here's a list of people going to hell, the lake of fire, and the usual people, abominable murderers, homemongers, and so on. But in other words, sorcerers. That word sorcerers in the original Greek New Testament is pharmacia, where we get the word pharmacy from. Talk about drugs. Drugs. Drug addicts. People that are hooked on dope are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Now, people lie, and people steal, and people kill because they're following their leader Satan, and they're following evil spirits. Look at John 8:44. John 8:44. John 8:44. Jesus said, "Ye are of your father, the devil." And by the way, he was talking to the religious leaders. Demons are religious. Don't forget that. "Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh in his own, for he's a liar and the father of it." And then go to John 10:10. "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." So, people lie, they steal, they kill, they'll do anything because why? They're following Satan. They're being inspired by Satan and his demons. The devil destroys people, and he uses any method available, whether it's false religion, whether it's drugs, alcohol, promiscuity, violence, suicide, he's out to destroy. Two of the names for the angel of the bottomless pit in Revelation 9:11 are Abaddon and Apollyon. Abaddon is Hebrew, Apollyon is Greek. Both these words mean destroyer. Satan is out to destroy people. He's out to destroy lives. He's out to destroy marriages. He's out to destroy homes. He's out to destroy families. He's out to destroy churches. He's out to destroy our country. And he's doing a good job. The Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And there are many demons, as we saw in Mark 5:9. And by the word legion not only indicates there are many, the word legion indicates they're organized. Because a Roman legion was very organized, very disciplined. Demons are organized. And they're organized with one goal, one aim, to destroy God's people and to destroy the work of God. The Roman legion was a well-organized group of disciplined soldiers. They were obedient to the Roman emperor. In like manner, demons are well-organized and obedient to their master, the prince of the power of the air, our adversary, Satan. We don't have time now to look at it. I see the time is dragged on, but if you want to do further studying on this subject, you look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 to 18. We are engaged in a spiritual battle with demons. Ephesians 6, verses 11 to 18 is very clear, and it tells you all weapons that we have in this battle. Now, let me give my third point real quick. We've got to wrap this thing up. First of all, we see demons are religious. We see they're very destructive. Thirdly, they recognize Jesus. The demons recognize Jesus. Luke 4:34. Going back to our text. Luke 4:34. Luke 4:34. The demons said, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth?" They identified him. They recognized him. "Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." The demons recognize our Lord's authority. They address Jesus, the devil addressed Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth and the Holy One of God. You may recall that in Acts chapter 19, verse 15, the evil spirit said to the vagabond Jewish exorcist, "Jesus I know! And Paul, I know. But who are ye?" You think about that. The demons said, "We know Jesus. We know Paul, but we don't know you." So they recognize Jesus. They recognize his authority. Oftentimes, I will tell some lost sinner that he needs to get saved, and that lost sinner will respond by saying, "I believe in God. How many have had that experience before? How many here try to witness to some lost person? And then I believe, y'all see, you've got a few hands up. Yeah, if you've been doing some soul winning for a while, you probably had it happen to you on more than one occasion. I couldn't begin to tell you how many times it's happened to me. But let me tell you what the Bible says. Thou believest that there's one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. James 2:19. So God says, you believe there's a God? That's good. The devils also believe. I remember one time I was knocking on doors with a friend of mine in Norfolk, Virginia, and we knocked on the door, and a lady answered the door, and she said, I believe in God. And my partner said, well, the devils believe also and tremble. And she said, are you calling me a devil? I said, I grabbed this, let's get out of here. You really got her. That's not what he meant, but that's the way she took it. But anyway, just saying you believe in God, it's not going to get you into heaven. The Bible says you need to be born again. And you need to stress that to people. All the times they'll tell me, I believe. I'm a good person. I believe in Jesus, but they're not saved, you see. Now, people get drawn into the occult. And they get drawn into voodoo and all sorts of strange things. Because these demon-inspired people often say they believe in Jesus. They acknowledge Jesus. I've met people into spiritualism who told me, we believe in Jesus. Now what do we make about that? We need to remember that in the Bible, demons recognize Jesus. Jesus, the demons acknowledge Jesus. In fact, we see in our text, they even worship Jesus. You need to understand that. Furthermore, according to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, you don't got to turn there, but 2 Corinthians 11, 4 says there's another Jesus. And there's another spirit. And there's another gospel. So we got to be careful. This demon addressed Jesus as the Holy One of God, Luke 4:34. But Jesus did not desire a testimony from devils, so in verse 35, he rebuked the devil. And you may recall Paul did the same thing in Philippi. Remember in Philippi, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, followed Paul around the streets of Philippi? And she was following Paul and his companions. And this is what she was saying. These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Again, reminding us demons are religious. Here's a demon-possessed woman following Paul around and his companions and saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, and they're showing us the way of salvation. But Acts 16, verse 18 says, and this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. So Paul didn't appreciate her testimony. And Jesus didn't appreciate the testimony of the demon-possessed man. And Jesus rebuked the devil. Luke 4:35. Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. When we consider the fierceness of Satan and the fierceness of his demons, and they're fierce. You know, I've been reading an article, a couple of articles about that jihad Johnny over in from London. You know how he became a radical? College. College is manufacturing radicals. In his case, it was fanatical Islam. Here in the U.S., it might be communism or homosexuality, who knows what else. But these colleges have radicals on the faculty. And in England, they said that college he went to turned him from a moderate Muslim who was into worldly things like rock music and drinking and things. He's a worldly kind of guy, not religious at all. And then he became a fanatic. And now he's chopping people's heads off. So we consider the fierceness of Satan and the fierceness of demons, we must recognize that our only hope is doing things God's way. That means doing things according to God's word. That is our only hope in this wicked world full of demons. I'm going to quote to you from our text tonight, Luke chapter 4, verse 32. Luke 4:32 says, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for watch this, his word was with power. There's power in God's word. Like the children sing, God's word changes lives. It's power cannot be denied. There's power in God's word. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick. That means it's alive. Do you know the Bible you hold in your lap tonight is alive? It's living. It's not just some dead book on the shelf. It's the living word of God. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. People tell me, Pastor, can you explain the difference between soul and spirit? I say, it's difficult for me to explain the difference between soul and spirit, but I'll tell you what, the word of God is so sharp, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, it can pierce even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. I'm going to conclude with a quote from Merrill Unger. Merrill Unger wrote many books on demonism. If you want to find out more about this subject, he's probably the best expert on it. He's in heaven now. But he wrote several books on demonism. I read them all, and they're all excellent, well written. He said this, in the measure that we neglect or abandon the word of God, demonism flourishes. Ignorance of biblical truth breeds gullibility. And that's an important statement right there. Why do so many people get drawn into the occult? They're gullible, they're uninformed, they're ignorant of God's word. Again, I repeat. In the measure that we neglect or abandon the word of God, demonism flourishes. Ignorance of biblical truth breeds gullibility. Deception is easy when the word of God is not taught accurately. We are ready to believe anything when we cannot evaluate it in the light of biblical truth. I referred earlier to Ephesians chapter 6, and I said we don't have time to read the whole passage, and I still feel the same way, but I do want you to read chapter 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Beloved, our only hope is in the Word of God. And if we're going to help people, and if we look around, there are many people that need help these days, and many people are getting confused by demons and so on. The only way you can do it is by knowing the Word of God. Make sure you can handle the sword. Handle it carefully and properly.